morning. Good morning. Revelation. Easy book to find. I had the chief of police of a suburban city, Hazel Park, years ago, to call me up. I helped him out on the first officer murdered in that city, how to set things up as far as the chaplaincy was concerned. And the news media called him and asked him what did he think about capital punishment. And he wanted to give them a biblical answer, so he knew me, he called me. And I said, well, you want to start with Genesis 9:6. He says, where's Genesis? Where's Genesis? I'm Catholic. I said, just open your Bible, turn a few pages, you'll be there. What does it mean? It means what it says. And God had not given the law yet. But he said this, whosoever shed man's blood by man, that means constituted authority, shall his blood be shed. And he tells you why. Because in the image of God made he man. Life is that precious, that sacred. That's the reason why nothing could be done to Cain. Cain committed murder before Genesis 9. But God hadn't given any laws regarding murder. You can't go beyond the word of God. See? So God forbid that anybody touch Cain. See? If your children are fighting each other, the way I handle it, our three sons, the one that did the first pass the first lick, I lined him up first. I say, why did you hit him? He did this, he did that. Second one, I say, did you hit him back? Yeah, why did you hit him back? Because he hit me. So I asked the first one, I say, who's your daddy? You. I asked the second, who's your daddy? You. So you're going to do my job. You did my job by hitting him. You did my job by retaliating. I say, listen, in this house, vengeance is mine, said the father. See? So both of you get a whipping. You get a whipping because you did my job. You get a whipping because you tried to do my job. So both of you get a whipping. Now, what are you going to do the next time he hits you? I'm going to tell you. I said, that's right. Well, this is what God says. Whoever it is, and that takes care of any discrimination. It doesn't make any difference about race or place, ethnic group. His mommy didn't kiss him goodnight. He ate too much chocolate. Nah, no. Whosoever fits the bill for everybody who qualifies and does this. Whosoever sheddeth. And that Hebrew word means in with malice aforethought. It means premeditated. It means to lie in wait. It means to deliberately take one's life. Whosoever does that, by man, shall his blood be shed. Not vengeance now, no, by constituted authority. Not a vigilante group, no. Constituted authority, by man. When I came on the police department many years ago, they informed us as a class that we had a right that the state did not have. Michigan does not have capital punishment. But you carry on your sidearm, as a sidearm, capital punishment. Under certain circumstances, you can execute people. But you better be very careful that it's lawful, that it's what they used to call and still do, that it's a good shooting. A good shooting is that you can justify it. God says it's a good shooting, it's a good execution. If someone takes another's life who has deliberately taken someone else. Because understand this. Someone that goes into a store, robs a store, executes the owner. I had the buggy shop years ago. Never will forget it. Up on Joy Road. Just before going west on Joy, just before you get to Ruich Park. And a two-legged monster came in there and he robbed the place, and he executed three generations. He executed the old man, He executed his wife. He executed their son. He executed their daughter. And the family came, closed the place up, never opened it again. And that used to be a place where if you needed something on credit, you could get it. I mean, these people were just hospitable. They didn't deserve that. And chances are, I never even checked to find out. Because so much of that was going on at the time. Too much is going on now. The problem is, they're not following the blueprint. Not following the blueprint. If we followed the blueprint, we wouldn't have what we have in this country. The chaos that we have. From top to the bottom. We wouldn't have the political mess that we have in this country. If we follow the blueprint. And God has given us a blueprint. As you know, we've been here before, and I've indicated to you and shown you where God establishes the legislative body, the judicial body, and God establishes the executive body. See? And he says, now, you legislators, you better be careful. See? And understand who is your ultimate lawgiver. You judicials, you judges, you better understand who is your ultimate judge. And you executives, you're passing all these executive orders, but you better understand who is your ultimate executive. And if you understand who is the ultimate judge, the ultimate lawgiver, you wouldn't be passing these funny laws that you're going to have to give an account of one day when you stand before me. You're passing these executive orders, but when you stand before me as the ultimate executor, you're going to wish you hadn't. And then he says, and the Lord will save you. The Lord can't save this country. You know why? Because he is not the ultimate legislator. We're passing laws. We're not consulting him. Half the people who are legislators, so-called lawmakers, never read the book. That should be one of the top qualifications. It used to be. You had to know the Bible. You had to at least read it through. How are you going to pass laws and you don't have the slightest idea what the ultimate law says? How are you going to write executive orders when you don't even know the chief executive? How are you going to judge when you don't know the chief judge? He's not on the Supreme Court. He sits in heaven. These seats are temporal because they're life appointments, but you're going to die. Just like the best judge we've had in 50 years on that court did the other day. Antonin Scalia, my favorite judge. And I'm going to show you something from the scripture why I believe he was a believer. Not because he was a strict constructionist concerning the Constitution, but I've watched him over the years. I have not just become acquainted with him. Those who are good in political circles, I get acquainted with them. On C-SPAN, whenever he did interviews, I watched him down through the years, 30 years almost. And one interviewer, Brian Lamb, I believe it was, he asked him this question. He said, why do you believe that the Constitution is not a living, breathing document? He said, because it was based upon a document that's not living and breathing the Word of God. Ooh. Now, when have you heard any politician say that? I want to know. When have you heard any judge say that? You see, a living, breathing, like the liberals and the leftists would like to say, a living, breathing document means it could change at will. It all depends on the mores. All depends on the fads and the fashions. It all depends on the political agendas of the party. Thank God his word is forever settled in heaven. Doesn't change. No. I change not. And if his word is forever settled in heaven, that means it was before it was even written, before you had it in your hand. It was already settled. Period. No, it's nothing living and breathing about it. It's alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. And what it said 10,000, 6,000 years ago, it means today. Period. Otherwise, we're all lost. We're all without hope. If we can't believe God's word, we can't believe God. That's the reason why. The first thing Satan did is call into question the word of God. He knew, if I'm going to get man, if I'm going to get woman to believe me and not God, I've got to call his word into question. And the first question asked in the Bible, yea, hath God said? It was asked for a diabolical reason and purpose. He knew what God said. That's why he was kicked out. That's why he was there. Because God was true to his word. Yea, hath God said that every baby should have a chance to live? Yea, hath God said that he made them male and female? Yea, hath God said you should execute first-degree murderers and rapists? Yea, hath God said there is a heaven to gain and hell to shun? Yea, hath God said there is a second death? Yea, hath God said it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, yea, hath God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? In other words, what he was saying was, if God said it, he didn't mean it. And besides that, so what? Can't be that bad. You're hungry. Why not? You've eaten of every other tree. See? Started with a very subtle question. He knew better than to give a frontal assault. But he said, I'll just give a very subtle question. I'll just raise a little doubt about God's word. And even in the wilderness, imagine that. Adam and Eve fell in the garden on a full stomach. The Lord Jesus was 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness with wild beasts on an empty stomach. When Satan came to him, and he didn't say if, that's not the Greek word. He said, since you be the Son of God, understand that. He didn't ask him if he was. He knew. Don't be that elementary. Don't be that elementary. He wasn't asking him if. You should know he knew who he was. The wording is, since you're the Son of God, make these stones bread. You're hungry? Go ahead. Now listen, that's never a proposition he would put to you or me. You know why? The number one reason why he would say, Ken, I want you to make stones into bread. There's only one reason he wouldn't ask me that. He knew I couldn't do it. He would only ask someone to make stone into bread that he knew could do it. So don't tell me he didn't know who he was. What he would tell you to do, that's a good looking woman. That's in your venue. Yeah, that's in your stratosphere. You can see. Or if you've been drinking and been a drunk in the past, say, a little wine, a little lady in club. What's wrong with that? A little taste. That's in your capability of doing. A little cheating here on your taxes, a little cheating there on your taxes. That's in your realm to do. But he would certainly not ask you to jump off of the Empire State Building and then just ease to the ground. Demonstrate who you are. Again, indicating he knew who he was. He wouldn't ask you to do that. He would only ask someone to do that he knew could do it. And each time, it is written. It is written. It is written. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. It is written. Now anything he said would have been is written. He's the word made flesh. It wouldn't have made any difference what he said. Because he couldn't say anything wrong. But if he relied on the word of God, how much more should you? How much more should I? That's what he was doing. Don't depend upon your eyes, your flesh, your pride. Go Go by the book. It was settled when you got here. It'll be settled after you leave here. It is written, but you got to know it. And the problem is, the reason why this country is in the shape it's in is because Eli is sleeping on the job. That's what's happening. Samuel is letting his boys run havoc through the temple. Good man, but he didn't put his boys in check. And look what happened. It always, you see, the church cannot be destroyed from without. Never has been. Can only be destroyed while men sleep from within. You ever heard of a fellow named Judas? Can only be. You ever heard of a fellow by the name of Diotrephes? Love to have the preeminence. If you didn't do it his way, kick you out. Alexander the coppersmith. Paul said didn't he much. It's always that way. I call them copperheads. It was coppersmiths back then. They're copperheads today. They've graduated. But yeah, the church can't be heard from outside. Rome fell within. This nation is falling from within. You see, what's going on is from within. From within. And who did it? Who did it? Christians, so-called professing Christians. How did they do that? 8 years ago, they set it out. They couldn't bring themselves around to understand, yes, he may be a Mormon, but he's going to protect life of these babies. Yes, he's a Mormon, but he's going to protect marriage. They believe like you do concerning life, concerning marriage, the dignity of human being and human life. We couldn't get past that. And when you stand before God, 40 million, set it up. We got 90 million evangelicals professing. But 40 million set on the curb. And twice allowed this to happen. That's where he's going to... I read somewhere where judgment begins at the White House first. I heard somewhere where judgment begins at the council first. Judgment begins at the Democrat Party first. Judgment begins with the Republican Party, the Communist Party. What Bible have you been reading? Wow, three words. Lord, we sow good seed in this field. From whence cometh these tares? He didn't say they didn't. He didn't say they didn't. He said three words. While men slept. And we're still sleeping. On the job. I mean the average church. I said this morning. The day you hear Osteen, Joel Osteen, preach the gospel, call me up. I don't care if it's 3 a.m. Call me up. I want to hear that message. 30,000 people and not a word. And yet they think they're right. They think they're right. But corruption always starts. Years ago, they had on cars, they used to have rocker panels. Nobody in here is old enough to remember. Steve, you remember the old rocker panels? My wife don't say nothing because she's still passing for 26. So she... Old rocker panels. The rocker panel always rusted inside first. By the time you saw a spot on the outside of the car, it was too late. It's too late. See? That's the way cancer works, likewise. It works then. By the time you see it, you may not feel a thing. 20 years ago, I had prostate cancer. Didn't feel like it. But that's the way sin works. Didn't feel. I wouldn't have gone in then. My wife kept after me. You know, husbands are hard-headed. So you haven't had a checkup in years. I'm okay. I feel all right. Don't go by how you feel regarding your physical or your spiritual health. Go by God's word. You see, and God's word tells us that when we are at our best, every man at his best state is altogether worthless. When you really think you got it going on, God said every man at his best is vanity. At your best state. Best state. When you really feel good. When you really feel like you got it going on. God says, when you get that way, altogether, altogether vanity. You see. And when we, but that's a good state to be in, though. There's nothing wrong with that. That's good. That's what God wants to bring us all to that place. When we're without strength, when we can't help ourselves, then he says, nah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Don't try and fake it. Don't try to pretend. Don't question God. Just believe Him. You don't have to understand it. I don't understand electricity. I'm not going to sit in the darkness before I turn that light on. I'll tell you that right now. I'm going to appreciate electricity. I'm going to appreciate the warmth it gives me in my home and the benefits it gives me in my home. I'm not going to go to school to learn about it. I don't have to. Someone has did it for me. And someone is paid. That's just like if you're in the wilderness and you get lost. The best way out of the wilderness, the best way out, is to look for the well-trodden trails. Now, don't try to blaze a new one. Don't do that. Look for that trail that's well-trodden. Look for the, as the Bible says, listen, look for the old paths. Yeah, because in the old paths, there's the good way. And then you can take your time. You don't have to, then you can just walk there. Because you know you're in the old path. You're going in the way others have been. They made it home, so will you. But if you turn to the left or you turn to the right, no telling what will happen to you. And even as a Christian, stay on the old paths. Because we're coming to the end now where people you thought were this and you thought were that didn't measure up. Fell by the wayside. And so we have here, and I want to just take a moment and look at this particular church in chapter 2, verse 18. And unto the angel in the of the church in Thyatira. Now I want you to know this. This is the Catholic Church. He's writing to the Catholic. You see, the Catholic Church didn't take God by surprise. See, when it began to develop. Not at all. Okay? I heard Paul Scalia bring that message, eulogize his father. It took a lot of strength, a lot of grace. And he said something that I can use. He said, here's a man that was loved and was hated. Here's a man that people talked about, scorned, and criticized, and some loved. Here's a man that was appreciated and despised. His name was the Lord Jesus Christ. See, you thought he was going somewhere. We're sitting there listening. When I first heard, I said, what? I thought he was talking about his father. He didn't know about his father. So be very careful about saying all Catholics. But if you do that, you might as well say all Protestants. Because the worst church of the seven was not the Catholic Church. At least he was in that church. At least he was in the church at Sardis. At least he was in the church at Pergamos. At least he was in the church at Philadelphia. At least he was in the church at Ephesus. At least he was in this church at Thyatira. But he wasn't in the church of the Laodiceans. You know why? This is the church right now that we're talking about, the Protestant church. The Osteen church, you see. The T.D. Jake church. The L. Sharpton church. The Jesse Jackson church. That's the church. See, he's not even in that church. He starts off in the middle of Ephesus, walking in the midst, his proper place, receiving the preeminence. And then he ends up in the last days, this day. Imagine that. You go home, you put your key in the door. Can't have a bed. This is my address? Yeah, I'm at the right house.
influence in your life, on your house. If that's not bad enough, somebody look out the curtain and say, yeah, may I help you? May I help you? Yeah, listen, who are you? Who are you? How do you think the Lord feels?
He built a church. And he's been escorted out. And he comes back. And all he does, he could burglarize it. He could be anything. He won't do that. You know why? He's speaking to you. He's speaking to me. I'm just going to be a gentleman. I'm going to stand here. I'm just going to knock. And he's not addressing everybody in the church anymore. Oh, no, no. Not at this day. He says, if any man in that place will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to him. Not them. I'll come in to him and sup with him. It's an individual, personal thing. And he with me. That's what I think is coming down to. Because there have been people here at Curtis I thought would never leave. There are people at Grace I thought would never leave. The only people you can be assured about is yourself. He said, examine yourselves. That's what to check out. Make your calling, not his calling, her calling, and election sure. Purpose in your heart. I don't care what others may do, but I'm going to find myself where God has placed me every Lord's day. Because I've got to give an account of my stewardship. So let me just dispel this idea. I had a Bible study years ago in the projects, and two nuns, these were the days when nuns wore the full garb. You knew they were nuns, full garb, older ladies. And they came. They heard about it, and they came. And I changed the message because I saw them there, and I put more emphasis on that narrow and straight gate. And I threw out the lifeline. And both of those nuns' hands went up. Now, do you think I was foolish enough to have them say, now, the first thing you must do is leave that church? First of all, you think they would have done it? No, what I said was, what you have heard now, you have a responsibility to share with others as the Lord gives you the opportunity. I said that to the whole class, them too. Well, yeah, be reasonable, be understanding, be discerning. Something Christians really lack. If they in that place can reach more people, if they were genuine when they said that prayer, they can reach people I could never reach. You could never reach right there. And I've got evidence here. You don't. I have right here. Notice what he says here. Verse 24. But I say, but unto you I say, unto the rest in Thyatira, and as many as have not this doctrine. What doctrine is he talking about? The infallibility of the papacy? Praying to Mary? All this other stuff. Not everybody holds this. Not everybody believes this. If you heard what his son said, he said his dad would go to mass, and he said sometimes what the priest would say something, he'd see his dad shaking his head. He didn't agree with that. Not everybody holds this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as which I speak, I will put upon you no other burden. But that which ye have heard, but that which you have already, hold fast till I come. It's just a segment there within that church. See? I don't believe that stuff. No question about it. And then they asked him about, in this interview, they asked Antonin, they said, what do you think about life? And talked about death. He says, I believe what the scripture says. You never heard anybody talk like that. That's the reason why I commended him in my commentary on yesterday. I don't do that easily. But I heard him. I heard him. But I caution you, something strange went on a week ago down in Texas at that cabin. Something very strange went on. Something was not kosher there, because I've been on the job, police department, in almost 25 years being a chaplain. I've been at many scenes of investigation, homicides. And I know this, that if you come into a homicide investigation or a sudden death, first thing you do, call for the medical examiner. See, you don't know. You can't spot what the medical examiner can spot. Been there when he's come in there and he's ripped the shirt off this fella. The bullet hole all in his chest. Ah, that's his job. Determine right away the cause of death. But a high profile person like him suddenly passed, and a police wasn't even called? And a doctor on the phone is going to give the cause of death that hadn't even seen him? Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Something's rotten in Denmark here. That doesn't pass the mustard test of a rookie just coming out of the academy. They know better than that. What are you playing me for? What's going on here? More than you realize. More than you realize. But God is still in control. But I just don't want us to be ignorant, brethren. Because stranger things will be happening soon. And I think this year. And you would do well at least to question what's going on here. Don't play me for a fool. I know something about investigating. I've investigated homicides. I know what to do. I know the steps to take. I know who to notify if this thing looks strange. And especially if this is a dignitary, I better find out, hey! He wasn't. Last night he was all right. We talked. Didn't seem to have a problem. And he's a Supreme Court justice too. I'd do it for anybody. But a Supreme Court justice? Hey, wait a minute here. Then he says this. Notice this. Verse 28. And I will give him the morning star. He didn't say that to any other church. That's a high commendation. Those who are in that place, in that church, and yet they know the truth. But when you go to the last church, the Laodicean church, mercy, he's kicked out. They're neither hot nor cold, lukewarm. They're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. You know what that nothing means? Don't even have need of him. He said, without me, without me, you can do nothing. He said, what do you mean without you? We don't even need you. We can run this thing. And they are. The people are joining. People are getting baptized. But nobody's getting saved. Because he's not there. So I'm saying, we better take another look at this thing. The worst church of the seven. Now, if you got a text to show me something different, I'd like to see it. But the worst of the seven is this one here, the Protestant church. Yeah, right here. And then we're quiet, too. We don't talk. We see things. It doesn't make a difference whether it's legally, it doesn't make it socially or spiritually, politically. We don't say anything. We don't speak up. We don't speak up. I remember the evangelists of the past, man, they'd call you out. I don't care if you're the mayor, the governor, the president, they call you out. If you're wrong, John the Baptist lost his head because of that. Jeremiah went down into the dungeon because of that. Isaiah, they sawed him in half because of that. That's all right. You have a mandate and an obligation to tell the truth. But make sure it's the truth now. See? Tell the truth. The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. And the only way you can tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, is from this book. Because this book will be standing when the world's on fire. Go down with the book. But on with the book. And if you do that, and that day he'll say, well done. My good and successful servant? No. My good and popular servant? No. My good and faithful servant. Don't make anything about the numbers. Don't get your eyes on that. Don't get your eyes on that. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Father, we give thanks for the Lord Jesus. If we had 10,000 tongues, they would be insufficient in subscribing the glory, the honor, the wonder that is due the person of the Lord Jesus. We know him only because we have heard the joyful sound that he saves, and he saved us. And if perchance, Lord, there would be one in the room today that has never tasted to see that you're good, that has never been to that fountain filled with blood, trouble that person until they come out of darkness into your marvelous light. Grant it so. Bless Curtis, and bless those who attend, and continue to be a blessing, Lord, through your people to this entire area. Grant it so, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.